just real considered a joy and a privilege to be with you guys today and what God wants to bring. You know, I find it so often when I preach a message, God speaks to me too, through the very message that God is bringing. So let us come to the Lord and see what He has for us. I very much appreciated that last song. It was very much of a confirmation of the message I have. Putting on, therefore, the mind of Christ. And that is initially my message this morning. The mind of Christ. Putting on, therefore, the mind of Christ. And what does that mean? I feel like this morning I'm just talking about a small aspect on how God heals our mind. To begin with, let's turn to Matthew 6. We'll just read this passage. Matthew 6, 25. Matthew 6, 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what we should eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowl of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lily of the field, for they grow. For they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall ye not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, because of this, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall a man be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So, the message this morning is talking about our thoughts, the way we think. God has been showing me the importance of the way we think affects everything about us, even to our physical body. In this passage, it talks about worry. We sang a song about rejoicing and giving thanks. I heard recently that worry, fretting, stewing actually affects our physical body in the area of our blood vessels constrict. They get smaller through worrying. But rejoicing and giving thanks opens our blood vessels. So give thanks versus worrying. The last part of this passage in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The importance of seeking the kingdom of God first. In his righteousness. Put on, therefore, also it says, the mind of Christ. And we'll get to that passage. But talking, we're going to be talking a little bit of science of how our brain is made up and how Jesus wants to come and heal our minds. So I have here some Plato. This is our brain. This is our brain makeup. And in our brain, we create pathways. So we have our physical brain and we have our mind that we think. They're two separate things, you could say. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As we think, there's actually chemical reactions that affect our brain, and it creates pathways in our brain. And it's like a tree. It's literally like a tree that grows and puts out branches, and these branches develop. And the more you go down that pathway, the more enrooted in our physical brain that pathway is. Now, there's several pathways that we can go in our brain. But what's the number one pathway that God wants to take us to? Love and connection. So here, I'm just going to put this spot. We're going to say this is love and connection, oneness with God. And God wants to take us that pathway. But there are times that we face things in life through our choices or things that happen to us that create places of pain. Things that happen is like, oh, if I go back to that memory, ouch, that's painful. And we make a groove to that pain in our minds. But where's the pain? Where's that love and connection where God wants to take us to? And this message today is coming from my own life, how God has took me on this journey. So many times we want to allow this pain to define who I am. And so we travel this pathway to this pain, and it defines me because we allow it to. But God wants to create a new pathway to love and connection and oneness and healing in Jesus Christ. So how does God take us from this pathway to pain to this pathway of love and connection? And I'll just say right now, I'm still on this journey. So, God wants to change our mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we have to change our belief about ourselves, of who God says I am. We're not defined by this pain. We're defined on who he has made me to be. So as we create this new pathway to love, connection, and oneness with Jesus Christ, then he can heal this old pathway. But it's not healed overnight. There's ways in which God heals this pain that we're disconnected from it, that it doesn't define us, but we still have this, this groove to that. Love or forgiveness severs that oneness with that pain. Like, okay, I'm going to release that individual. But then there's still that groove that sometimes that still comes up to bother us. Don't be discouraged about that. God told me the other day, it's like, the more you go down this pathway of connection with me, Jesus, the more I will erase the pathway to pain. And this wrong pathway can be a bad habit. It could be toxic way of thinking. There's so many ways in which Jesus wants to come and heal that wrong pathway of thinking about myself, because it does not align up and agree with what God has spoken over me, who I am in Christ. So as we walk this pathway to God, the deeper that grows, and the pathway to pain gets erased more and more. It doesn't happen overnight. But I'll say this. We may see so many things in our life that need fixed. God is more concerned about love and connection than about fixing everything that we see. He wants that love and connection. He's like, my child, go with me in love and connection, and I will fix you. But he wants that love and connection with him. How many of you know Dr. Caroline Leaf? She talks about, she's a brain doctor and explains things in very detail. And so I've been listening to her, and I get so confused sometimes when she talks and brings things out are so deep. But she brings out how the way we think affects us in so many ways, both physically, spiritually, and in our bodies, mentally. So I've found that as I go back to these places of memory that are painful, God starts the healing process. And then he goes to another one. It's like, oh, that's painful. And then he goes to another one. But he deals with it almost one at a time. He does. He doesn't overload us. You've got this, 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 and wrong, and I want to take care of this. No, he's a gentle father. And so it's understanding his love for me. Just this past week, I think it was Thursday night, there was another thing that came up that I didn't realize was there that was painful. And it's like, as I surrendered it to God, God came and healed that. So surrender. Oh, this is so important. Surrender to truth is the pathway to love and connection with God. But when we want to go my own way back to this source of pain, we're not going down love and connection with God. Surrender to the truth is what is going to bring healing to my life. Now, a person's inner thoughts and motives reveal their true self, which is more important than outward actions and words. Our true self is revealed by what we think about. Proverbs talks about, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As we think, we're going to, it affects our belief, the way we think, and everything about us. So let's go to Hebrews 4. And go to scripture and see what, bring out some scripture about what it says about the way we ought to think. And warnings also. Hebrews 4:12. I love this verse in so many ways. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divine of sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, mankind sees our outward actions. We can sometimes perceive a person by their actions and kind of like, okay, I think they're here, or I think they're thinking these thoughts, but we are limited. God sees our thoughts and the intents of our heart. But it says the word of God is quick and powerful. That's where we need to be, allowing the word of God to transform me. Romans 2:16. And the day when God shall judge the secrets of man by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. One day, God is going to judge the secrets of man. By who? Jesus Christ. So what if we have the mind of Christ within us? Then what's God going to look at? He's going to look at Jesus Christ and not our own thinking. Jeremiah talks about how God is going to judge the evil thoughts that mankind is bound with. Then in Matthew 5, verse 27. Ye have heard that it hath been said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, and pluck it out, cast it from thee, for it is more profitable thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into that hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is more profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish than thy whole body should be cast into hell. Here this is talking about committing adultery in our hearts with our thoughts. We brought out how God's going to judge the thoughts that we think, the things that we hold in our mind. Oh, it's so easy to just think thoughts, but not realizing that our very thoughts is creating grooves and patterns in our mind, in our brain. Let's turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, read a couple verses here in 19 and 21. Ephesians 3, 19. And to know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. I'll just stop right there. That ye may be, that is a continuation. Being filled with all what? The fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly all above all that ye could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all the ages, world without end. Amen. It is so important that we are being filled with God, with his presence, with the Holy Spirit. That is what's going to bring healing. That's what's going to bring transformation. Now, you can take any person in this world, and if they simply think positive thoughts, being thankful, being grateful, it will transform their minds. They can create new pathways of thinking, and it can affect them for the better. But even if their mind is being changed, their brain, their way of thinking, we still need Jesus Christ to transform our spirit, translating us from the spirit of darkness to the spirit of life. Without that transformation, we cannot think our way into heaven, so to speak. We can try to think good things and we can try to meditate on what is right, but we need Jesus Christ to bring that life and that transformation. And as we receive his life, then he enables us to think his thoughts. It's something that we cannot do on our own. And believe me, I've tried. I've tried to try to change my way of thinking and to love this person on my own. And I just fall back into that groove of going down that pathway. Well, they did this to me and it was painful and they need to come and repay it and all that. But when Jesus came and brought transformation and brought healing, I can now choose to go down that pathway of love. And I do not have to choose to go down that pathway of pain. I say choose because it is a choice that we can make. Yes, God helps us, but we have to choose to think Christ's thoughts. Ephesians 4, right across the page here, verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. The old way of thinking, the old way of pattern of thinking. It says, put away from you, put off this old way of thinking. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds. that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. That verse there, neither give place to the devil, is very important because the devil wants to come and create a stronghold in our minds. And if we give him place, he is going to create a stronghold in our minds. It says neither give place, meaning give him the ability or the open door to allow him to come in and put a stronghold in our minds. Another place, I didn't actually look it up, it says casting down imaginations. Things get built up. Yes, we might have this pain. And then the devil says, comes and makes it way bigger than it should be. And he adds to it. And then after a while, we blow it up way beyond proportion. And then we agree with his lies. Well, you felt this way. You must be this. You felt betrayed. You felt inadequate. So you're a failure. You felt worthless. So you agreed with the enemy's lies that you're no good. And that's how he creates a stronghold by believing his lie. But God says, that is not defining you. That is not who I have made you to be. He's made us for love and connection with him. Philippians. Philippians 4. Four and nine. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. How I brought out earlier that rejoicing brings such physical healing to our bodies. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is the one that keeps us. We're not trying to produce something. We're not trying to keep Christ, so to speak. As long as I'm holding on to Christ, I'm going to be okay. No, he's holding me. It's like how I'm holding this Play-Doh right now. He is holding you. He is holding me. And it's so, sometimes it's hard for me to grasp that I just need to rest in him because he's holding me. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So, if you want an outline of how we ought to think, here it is. This verse, verse 8, reveals Jesus Christ and his way of thinking. Whatsoever things are true. Now, I've explained my family to this. We can say, well, it was true. They hurt me in this way. We could say that was true. But who is truth? Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus is the truth. He's honest. He's just. He's pure. He's lovely. He's the good report, and he's full of virtue and praise. Absolutely. First Corinthians 2. A few verses here. Start with 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of God, that he may instruct him? Who can think what God is thinking and to give him instructions? Not me. I cannot think the way God thinks and understands. None of us can. But we have the mind of Christ. So through Christ, we can understand God's thinking. Outside of Christ, we cannot understand God because it is spiritually discerned. But when we are in Christ, Christ gives to us everything about himself. So I got a question this morning. Jehovah Rapha, who knows the name of God? What this is describing about God, Jehovah Rapha. The God who heals. The Lord who heals, restores, cures, and mends. That is the heart of God. Who he wants to heal, restore. And he does it through Jesus Christ, by us responding to Christ in our hearts. Now, I want to back up to 2 Corinthians 2:13. Which things also we speak, not in the word which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I want to say also that God wants to direct us through his Holy Spirit, that is truth. There's so many times that it talks about the Holy Spirit wants to teach us. And there's so many times when I have this place of pain and hurt, and I go back to it, and the Holy Spirit is there helping me, teaching me, okay, you felt this. Yes, I did. What lie did I believe? And he shows me, you believe this lie about yourself. I am unqualified. Or whatever that lie may be. We repent of the lie. and we break off that lie, that it does not define me. And this is what's important. Then the Holy Spirit brings truth. We replace the lie with truth. And that takes us to that pathway of connection with God and with one another then. We replace the lie with truth of himself. Philippians 2, 1 through 5. I realize I missed this verse because I really love this verse. I wanted to bring this out. Philippians 2, 1 through 5. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, and of one mind. So this is talking about the body, brotherly love, this body. How can we be of one mind? How can these us individuals think the same thing? Well, it's not necessarily that we're thinking the same thing, but we're in the one mind in Christ. Christ Jesus is that one mind that we think. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful verses to end on. How did Jesus come? Was it about himself? He did say, I am the way. But it was about glorifying his Father. It was about coming to serve, laying down his life. It says there in 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter where we may find ourselves in life. We're on a journey. We're all at different places. It's not like one's better than the other. We're all at different places. But as we respond to Jesus Christ and what he is showing us, he heals, he delivers, he sets free, and he guides into the truth of himself. I had to think of this question, I think it was last night. Why does God even want to heal us? Here we have these points of pain and wrong way of thinking. Why does God even want to heal us? Is it for ourselves? Yeah, we get benefit, but it's for him. It's for him that he wants to heal us. And it just really changed my thinking. It's like, okay, I'm coming to God because I want to be healed. But he wants to heal us for his name's sake. And so as I'm just willing before him, he transforms me. Because he wants me to be the way he has created me to be. He wants you to walk in the way God has made you to walk, in your own identity, in your own way. God has made us for a purpose. And so he has created us. And then there's this pain. There's this, the enemy. John 10:10, The thief cometh not what? For to steal, kill, and to destroy. The devil has come trying to steal and kill and destroy what God has wanted us to walk in. And we have to say no to the enemy and yes to Jesus. We've got to allow Jesus to transform us from the baggage, from the bondage, from the strongholds that we allow, and let Jesus bring transformation in our life. So it's all about us just simply coming and responding and saying yes to Jesus. So I think at this time we'll just pause for a moment and pray. And if God has put on your heart something, just respond to Him. It's not about me and what God's doing in my life, but it's you connecting with Jesus. And just laying that down before Him. So let's just take a moment and just pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you now in Jesus' name, just to thank you, just to praise you, that your provision of Jesus Christ that comes and sets the captive free. Father, it is your work that you want to do in these people, in my life. And I just pray for them right now in Jesus' name, that as they have places in their heart that they fear to go to find healing, that God, you would give them the grace and the strength to know that you are with them in their pain. You feel their pain, and that you will go with them to the point of the memory of pain, and you will heal. You want to transform, and you want to make whole. Better than what it has ever been before. So, Lord Jesus, we come to you and just want to respond to what you are speaking to us, to take that step of faith and to allow Jesus himself to bring transformation in life. Lead us, Father, in your truth. Lead us in that which you have created us to become, one in Christ, heirs of that of your inheritance. And so, Lord, I pray a blessing upon each one here today and those that are listening, that you would meet them right where they're at, and that Jesus Christ would bring that transformation that they're longing for, what they need. Thank you that Jesus is that perfect provision. Thank you that you are the healer and that you give life. You exchange my sin and my failures and how I've just blew it. You exchange all that with your presence and your love and your goodness and your peace that passes all understanding. And I pray, God, that you would bless us this day. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.